The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. So this past week has been a busy one here at St. Simon's. I think some of you chuckle when you hear that. It's been busy but joyous as well, as we hosted our annual vacation Bible school. And there is all of this life and energy just kind of surging through these hallways and rooms. And so you may, as you came in today, you may have seen some of the various artwork and decorations from the week all through the church today. In the parish hall, we have this frontal that the kids made with their handprints and names and banners and these sweet new stoles that we're rocking today. I'm pretty excited about it. And so the theme of this year's VBS, it centered around a passage from Galatians that we heard a couple weeks ago with the fruits of the Spirit and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I feel like it can rattle them off over and over now because we had this song that we sang with it every day and multiple times a day. And so it's just, I can't get it out of my head. It's constantly like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it goes over and over like that. It's kind of like almost a walking mantra, I guess, but that's probably not a bad thing, is having that constant reminder of those fruits of the Spirit would be a good thing to take with me. And so this week we invited and we welcomed children from all over the community, as well as some that were visiting from other places. We had some of our own kids here, along with many kids from other churches in the area, and some kids that don't go to church at all, but were here this week with us. And we sang together, like that song I mentioned, and many others, and we played games, and we made art, and we made flower arrangements, and learned about why and how we worship together. And then we shared food together, a meal, and we heard stories about Jesus and God's grace. And so we looked at all of these fruits of the Spirit that are over here on our banner, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, over and over again. But we looked at all of these fruits of the Spirit through the lens of the commandment that we heard in Luke's gospel this past week, the love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so we explored the why and then the how we try to live out those spiritual fruits, loving God and neighbor as ourselves in ever-widening circles, both within the little group that we had gathered, and then maybe our whole churches or the greater community, and then even looking at that, what does that look like on a scale of all the way throughout the world? And so we also had this whole team of volunteers of both adult and youth that were all working together to put this week on. And there's volunteers like that these ministries, they can't happen without this outpouring of love and energy that you showed. And in light of today's gospel passage, I'm sure at some point, all of us who were there, we all felt a little bit like Martha at some point during that week, kind of running around frantically trying to get everything set up and ready to go for the kids to arrive. But all that being said, what I really saw taking place this past week was this image of hospitality. And just as we had different words of the day this past week, the word that comes to the forefront for me when reading today's scriptures is hospitality. So shifting off of VBS and into today, you know, what is this notion of hospitality, and why and how are we called to practice it both here and in the greater world around us? And what is it really? What is it really, hospitality? We've probably heard that word a lot. We've probably used it a whole lot, especially down here in the South, constantly hearing about, you know, that good old Southern hospitality. You know, what makes it different than any other? You know, what makes Southern hospitality different? Is it just regular hospitality, but you kind of throw in some sweet tea with it, and then it just you know, is that, or is it something else? Is it something more? You know, just on the face of it, the dictionary defines it as the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. And you know, I would like to think that what makes Southern hospitality special is that heightened sense, that extra generosity with guests and visitors, and especially of strangers that come our way. But I also wonder if sometimes we fail to live out that image that we have in our heads, both sometimes locally and also on a large scale. So what about this biblical hospitality, that godly hospitality, and that image that we find in scriptures, and one that embodies this image of God and this image of Jesus, and this, that image that we heard from Colossians, the Christ, Jesus Christ being the image of the invisible God in all things and all things in him. So in Luke's gospel today, we have an image of hospitality that at first glance might seem to kind of go against our ideas of what hospitality is, or at least what Jesus has to say about it. And this is the only time in Luke's gospel that we see the sisters of Martha and Mary, and we know them elsewhere as the sisters of Lazarus and friends with Jesus. But here in Luke's gospel, we see them inviting Jesus and his followers into their home for the very first time. And the word about Jesus, it was spreading through the land. And so they knew who he was, but they didn't really know him yet. And there's a lot to do. There's a lot to get ready for. So Martha is frantically preparing. And while Mary sits at the feet of Jesus listening to his teaching, Martha is obviously flustered about it. And she asks Jesus, do you even care? Do you care, what's going on there? And we tell Mary to please help me, to help her out. So Jesus replies with, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, and there's only need of one thing, and that Mary has chosen the better part. And so it sounds odd when we talk about hospitality and how we know it. And on the first glance, it can almost sound like we put contemplation over the life of action, and that they're opposites that oppose each other. It places a life of prayer and learning, the contemplative life, the quiet life, over this life of action. And so it's in the midst of how we ask that question, how do we go about serving God? That's not what I think Jesus is getting here. Surely both are necessary. They both have to take place, both listening and learning and dwelling in the Word, in the presence of God, and then also acting and welcoming others. I don't think Mary and Martha's activities are in opposition with each other. It's not an either or, it's a both and kind of thing. And the question that I hear here is where is the focus, and maybe what is even the proper order? Jesus' issue with how Martha is going about things is not that she is showing hospitality and in service to her guests, and it's not that she is busy. It's that she is worried and distracted and missing the point of what she is really doing. It's that her practices of hospitality are overshadowing the purpose of it. And it's that forgetting to put the God first in all of it. It's just the getting worried and distracted by going through the motions and not remembering why we're doing it in the first place. Don't we all get caught up just like that? I know we all do. I know I do from time to time. And it's focusing on the how and the what without remembering that why. And came across a quote from the theologian and scholar Joel Green that it bears some reflection, and it's one that I think we all have to wrestle with here at church. And he says, a church that has been led to be worried and distracted by many things inevitably will be a community that swells in the shallows of frantic potlucks, anxious stewardship campaigns, and even events designed simply to perpetuate the institution. That's kind of a hard thing to hear. So we have to ask ourselves and continually ask ourselves this why question, putting it at the front. Why do we go about doing what we are doing, and continually remind ourselves that our purpose, our main purpose, is to be in service of Jesus, to serve God and others. And all these things, these potlucks and stewardship and events and all the things that we put on. These are good things. These are great things. And they bring us together. But we just, and they're necessary too for the life of the church and in the world, but we just can't forget that why question to always put God first in the midst of it. And so how do we go about inviting God in into our homes, our church, and our lives? And how does this sense of hospitality kind of permeate not just here in the things that we plan, but also how we go about inviting others to it? We come across this story in the Old Testament today of Abraham inviting strangers in to his tent. And it starts out, and so the narrator knows that it is an angel of the Lord visiting Abraham, but Abraham, I don't think he really knows that yet. And he is at the entrance of his tent, and when he looks up and he sees three strangers there. Now Abraham, he dwelled in a tent, and these strangers, that was out in the wilderness, and so these strangers would have been trekking out through the wilderness as well, and probably exhausted and hungry in his mind. And so Abraham gets up and runs over to them, and I think that's when he realizes the presence of the Lord is there, and he bows down and saying, "Do not pass your servant." And he offers water to wash their feet and a place to rest, and he offers food. He asks Sarah to get the choice flour and bake cakes with it, and he pulls the choice calf and selects that one for the food, for the meal, to share with them, to invite them in. So even before he knew it was the Lord at his doorstep, I like to think, and I do think, he was already running out to greet and welcome the weary stranger, to serve them and to serve his Lord in that manner, reaching out to them. So God teaches us this hospitality of inviting the other countless times throughout the scripture. Jesus is continually inviting people that just kind of baffle us, that we don't expect coming into his ministry. And here today we see two images of this hospitality playing out in this question that I think we need to wrestle with, of what, you know, what if God were coming to visit? What if God were on our doorstep? How would we act? How would we invite them in? How would we be? And what would we do? And I think we're asked that question because we know that when we have that answer, when we can answer it to ourselves, this is how we would be if God was here to visit, the hospitality we would show, then we know the answer on how we're supposed to show that to each other, how we're supposed to be with each other and invite each other, with neighbors and strangers, and live a life that is, again, through that greatest commandment, to love your God with all your heart and soul and mind and body and strength. Keep God in the center, and then through that, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.